with episode 820 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Gary from Jacksonville, and geez, I'm hearing crickets. It's been a little quiet on the TV set lately.
Yes, indeed it has, and well, that's one of the reasons that we took a little bit of time off, but also one of those reasons is that, yeah, we just have a lot going on, and it's summer, and if we don't really have something big to sink our teeth into, we might as well just go ahead and give everybody a little bit of time to catch up with our podcast. So there you go. But we actually do have some things that we want to delve into. We've been up to a few things lately. And there's this show that's on now, Gary, that does usually give us at least a little bit of something to talk about.
Archer?
Air of Swords, is it?
Archer? No. Geez, I know it involved bows at one point. Was it a cartoon?
No.
Wait a minute. There were, like, fairy creatures or something. Is that something? Was it like musical chairs?
We'll figure it out. But yes, we will be getting into some things in a little more depth than what we're used to lately. But obviously, yes, it's summer. It's we've been kind of changing things up. We've been binging some shows in the meantime, reading some novels and so on. So who knows what we'll get into? Hopefully, we will be able to entertain as we go. But Gary, why don't we just have a general disclaimer for this particular episode?
Oh, sure. While there aren't a lot of episodes, though, episodes that we will be discussing today, we don't hold back. We will reveal any secrets, talk about any hidden alliances, people that live, people that die, armies that rise or fall, and we are not ashamed to it to do it. We like to discuss things in detail, and if we dance around those subjects, we're really not doing our discussion or you a service in our opinions. So if you haven't watched some of the shows that we're going to talk about, you can stick your fingers in your ears and hum real loud, or you can listen to some really good conversation. Your pick.
That's right. And we are going to, first of all, just kind of talk about what we've been up to lately. So Gary, how about you? Any new things from the last couple of weeks?
Oh, geez. No, my month of travel is finally coming to an end. Geez, I've been everywhere from, Houston, Texas, to Tampa in Florida, and a few places in between along the way. I got to go scalloping for the first time. You hunt these little things that are somewhat reminiscent of clams, and you just keep scooping them up into bags, and it was first time I'd ever done it, and you snorkel to do it, and it was a load of fun. Not really on our topic per se, but just one of the things that we've been getting out and doing this summer. As a side note, I did finish splurging through American Gods, even though we had sort of our cap-off discussion on it a few shows ago. I did finish getting through the TV show and enjoyed it immensely. I've also burned to catch up with Killjoys as well as Dark Matter. And I'm about ready to dive into Handmaid's Tale next. So hopefully by the next few shows, I'll have been caught up fully on that as well as the summer continues to plod along with its slow content delivery.
Yeah, be prepared with a bottle of your favorite something while you're watching that show. It's not for the meek of heart by any means. So. It definitely will make you think and also wonder if our gender doesn't need to make some serious amends. So let's see here. So talk about binging things. I've also been catching up on a few things. I finally caught up on Iron Fist. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, that's great. That's good. I know you were stretching it out.
I was stretching it out. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Certainly. And what else did I finish? I also finished Handmaid's Tale. I got to the end of the first season. I was kind of glad that they got a second season. So I'll talk briefly about that later without spoiling anything for you. But yeah, it was mainly the last couple weeks was just, binge watching a few things, catching up on some stuff, and also reading some things. I actually read, Gary, Life Debt, finally.
Did you? Oh,
yes,
okay.
The second of the Aftermath books. And I have to say, it was definitely better than the first.
Yes. Well, you say that, but I just wonder it's because you got used to the writing style and the universe. I question how much better the story actually was.
I felt like now that they're past, or he is past the introductory portion,
yes,
that it was a lot easier to swallow because now we know the characters. And, also I believe that they were interacting a lot more with characters that we know and care about. So that helped. I think that because the first book came out, and I read it before Force Awakens, it just didn't really make sense how that was supposed to relate to anything.
Mm.
And now it's a lot more clear, at least, how some of those threads are connecting. So for me, at least, it was a much quicker read. The writing style was still not my favorite, but maybe because I was a little bit more engaged in the material, I was less annoyed by it once I got back into the swing of it.
Yeah, but, I found the second one, I got a little bit more comfortable with it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm by no means, you know, eager to jump into the third right away, but it does seem like things are at least going somewhere. And like I said, maybe now because The Force Awakens is out, there's a little bit more in terms of context. That's helpful. And I think that it just made it a little bit more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I've read in recent weeks is, I guess last year they had a trilogy that the Star Trek novels came out with for the 50th anniversary, and it was the Legacies trilogy. And I think I mentioned that I read the first one, which was Captain to Captain by Greg Cox, and he's not one of my favorite authors.
I can't disagree with you.
I've mentioned that many times. And so the first volume I wasn't too thrilled with. It seemed a little bit lacking. Thankfully, the second volume that I finished a little while ago was by David Mack, who is a much better author, in my opinion. And the second novel was a lot better. And so right now, I am about 150 pages into the third novel. And that's by Dayton Ward and Kevin Dillmore, who they are pretty reliable.
It's like, yeah, they got like the same four staple authors in Star Trek lately that write everything.
Yeah, well, at least three of the four are good. So, so I've liked the second and third novels of that trilogy much better than the first. And if you can kind of get through the first one, which sets things up and is kind of lacking, at least so far, the other two are pretty much worth the time. So I'm enjoying it. I'm just kind of happy to have good reading material lately. So, or at least passable reading material. I was a little bit worried about Aftermath that I was going to kind of slog through it, but it actually moved pretty quickly for me. Let's see. Beyond that, kind of light on the movie watching, since I went out and saw a few things. But one thing that I did see, I literally just finished watching it a little while ago, was that King Arthur movie, Legend of the Sword or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
No, it's on my radar, and I was considering it.
Well,
should I wait for a video?
I'm glad that we didn't pay to see it. The way that Bronstum put it, I think, is a really good way to look at it, which is if they had just gotten, like, not tried to do another King Arthur movie and just made this a generic D&D movie,
yes,
this would have played much better. But it's by Guy Ritchie, and I don't know if you remember his Sherlock Holmes movies.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Imagine
the same aesthetic with King Arthur.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't quite work.
Now, I love Man from U.N.C.L.E., but I see what you're... Yeah.
Yeah. His style works with certain kinds of properties and not with others, and at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and, I can... Yeah.
Yeah.
I get you.
So it's a rental, not a
buy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be my recommendation. I mean, it just... Right from the beginning, it's a little confusing because certain aspects of the lore are kind of put in a blender and reimagined. Is that the word I'm looking for? And, you know, his kind of taste for anachronisms and stuff, that still holds. So, it was passable, but it was not something that I would spend a lot of money on, and I'm glad I didn't. So, there is that. Let's see, what else have I been doing? Because, a lot of reading lately, just kind of...
Any video games lately?
I was about to get there. But yes, I did kind of get back into Andromeda. I'm over 50% complete in it. I think that I'm more than that in terms of the story, but I've been going and doing a lot of side things, just kind of nice way to cleanse the mental palate at the end of the day for a couple hours. And yeah, it's I'm still enjoying it. I think that there's been one or two times that when I've tried to complete a mission, something kind of glitches and I can't quite finish it. So I'm not going to be able to get 100%, that's for sure. But and that is annoying when you spend a couple hours doing something and then the last step, for whatever reason, doesn't quite work out. But for the most part, it's still pretty enjoyable. And yeah, it's maybe not up to the standard of the best of the Mass Effect games, but certainly I don't think it's nearly as bad as what people said, especially kind of taking a break and then coming back to it. It's not like I, you know, cringed when I went back in and tried to play it again or anything like that. It's a pretty solid game. So I'm enjoying it. It's been a nice thing to do because things have been kind of slow as far as the TV output is concerned, to kind of spend a few hours on that when I'm not also catching up on watching Babylon 5 with family. So we are, as far as the Babylon 5 rewatch goes, my daughter and I are into the very late in season 3. We just finished Walkabout.
Ooh. He did. Richard Biggs did such a good job in that episode. Wow.
Yes, and his material at the end of the season 3 in particular is really strong. So, definitely looking forward to the reactions to that. But
yeah, I've been watching it too since they put it on that P90 app. I'm able to, you know, pretty much watch it at my leisure, any place where I have my phone, and it's not only am I going back and watching it, but like if an episode pops into my head, I will go back and rewatch it.
Yeah,
like
it's really
convenient
now.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah, no, I was watching. Was it Confessions and Lamentations? I'm sorry. I watched that one, but I just finished Coming of Shadows with the Techno Mages. Oh, Geometry of Shadows. Michael Ansara is just so good at that.
That's how well we know the series, folks. With like just two or three words, we can hone in on which episode we were talking about. So that's been good. We actually, this is, like you said, things that normally would not show up on our show, but, we haven't been really been able to schedule a big vacation this summer, unfortunately. I mean, we do have the usual stuff going on, with Dragon Con, and kind of booking the panels, still finalizing those. I'm sure we'll talk about those before Dragon Con hits, but still trying to get all that straightened out. But other than that, at the end of the summer, we really didn't have anything big on our plate. So actually, we kind of, the kids and I at least, decided to do what I guess is, it's not a staycation per se, but what we did is we actually went to a hotel, like literally just like a couple miles down the road. Like just far enough that it changes your perspective a little bit.
Okay.
And, in fact, it's, you know, like right in Springfield, right? So you know where I'm talking about. And, really actually fun because then we stayed there for a couple nights and then went, we went and hung out with some friends and then went right over to the hotel. So we, you know, we didn't stop at the house or anything. And then we also went and saw a Major League Soccer game. So we went right from the hotel and then went to the game and then went from the hotel, from the game to the hotel. They had a great time at the game too. It was a lot of fun. And, but the part that I was going to say is that it was really cool to recognize that, you know, just getting that change in perspective of going and staying at a hotel and, you know, hanging out at the pool there and everything else. It's like, even though it's just down the road, it completely felt like we were, you know, hundreds of miles away. Because we were just out of the headspace, I guess, of just being stuck in the house, you know, for another weekend. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. We kind of just got to chill for a couple days. And at least there was the benefit of knowing, like, oh, we want to go out. Where can we go? Well, we know the area pretty well. We'll just go over to the diner over there.
I love that diner. I know.
Yeah, that's the diner. Definitely a good thing to do in the morning. But it was just really cool to go to the game. We had really great seats. It was right behind one of the goals. So and they don't put a net up. So when they kick it and miss, it goes.
So you have
fans.
To bring your own mouth guard? What?
there were a couple times it came actually pretty close to where we were sitting. So that was pretty fun. So you really had to pay attention. And, you know, unlike baseball, where you can kind of look away for a little while, it's constant action. So it really, it kind of made it very immediate and added a lot of excitement to what was going on. So definitely a lot of fun. And yeah, it's kind of a nice little recharge from just the norm, which was exactly what we were hoping for. So yeah, everybody got a little bit of a chance to kind of just, kind of, like I said, recharge and just.
Oh yeah, and you know, it's a cheap way sometimes to play tourist in your own city or area too. It's sometimes a nice thing. You always see the signs to the, you know, to some park or some historical place, and you've driven by it thousands of times, but you never actually went to it. So it's sometimes fun to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's just, like I said, it's just, and they just renovated that hotel too, so it felt really like a completely different experience, because even though, you know, I've been there before, it looked completely different.
I've been there too, and I'm glad to hear that they renovated it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it just looks completely different inside, so that just really helped to give that impression of, oh yeah, you know, we're completely in a different state of mind anyway. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and that was just the last couple of days. So between that and then just coming back and watching a cheesy movie, to be honest, really kind of was a nice way to kind of reset things a little bit. So
my daughter has been into she wanted to watch the Blair Witch Project. Then she wanted to watch the Blair Witch Project 2. Then she wanted to watch the remake, the 2016 remake. And she's like, "Oh, Dad, didn't you see when it was in the theater?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd you think?" I said, it was one of only two times I ever wanted my money back from a movie theater. She's like, "What was the other one?" It was Witness with Emilio Estevez, but that's a whole nother issue. But yeah, I said, I actually walked up and said, "Could I have my money back?" And they said, "No, you watched the whole movie." I said, "Oh, jeez." I didn't want to. But yeah, so we've gotten to watch those three movies over the past week or so. They're what they are.
Yeah. Oh.
They haven't changed. I thankfully, although watching it now, many years later, it did not get any worse.
Oh no! If anything else, they're almost hilarious now. So. The remake was we had a good time laughing over that one. I'll put it that way.
Oh yeah, we were chuckling.
But some good time for cheesy movies over the summer, mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Speaking of which, I might be out as they're listening to either this episode or one of our next one or two, but I didn't realize there was actually a Sharknado 5 coming out.
Yes, there is.
Oh,
I can't believe you didn't know that, Gary.
Well, I mean, I always knew it was there at some point, hovering in the background, ready to jump on me when I least suspected it. Yes. But I didn't realize it was actually this week. So.
Oh boy, it is this week? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the 6th, I think, or 5th or 6th.
Ah. So, yeah. All right, then. So, yeah, when these episodes go out. All right. So, yeah, that's something to keep in mind for those of you who like.
Just warning everyone. Yeah.
Yes. Warning you. Keep your eyes on the skies.
skies.
Is Ian Ziering still in that?
He sure is, sir.
Oh, boy. at least something's giving him a paycheck, a regular one at this point. Okay, so yes, what else has been on the plate? That's about it that I can think of, other than you know, some comic books I'm trying to catch up on. I think I'm caught up through the end of November of last year at this point.
Oh, comic books?
Yeah.
Oh well, no. Let's see. I guess I could go. We're still in the midst of Secret Empire, where Captain America is head of Hydra, and. Yeah, exactly, and it's just there's another Captain America now, so I wonder if that's how they're going to save him, so to speak. There's a whole shield around Earth, so none of the intergalactic heroes can get onto the planet, so they froze all that sort of aspect out of it. And I believe in the last episode, let's see, I gave spoilers, so he snapped Black Widow's neck with his shield.
Oh.
So, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so, lots of...
Lots of things that they can reset and then say, oh, we got to play in a dark sandbox, and now we're going to go back to the way that things used to be.
Yeah, exactly. So it's continuing to disappoint and minorly annoy.
It's definitely, you know, I think that's the part of the problem, is that, quite frankly, they decided to go down that certain road, and now they've got to find their way back. And the fact that they announced that, oh, yeah, don't worry, we're going to just reset things at the end of all this. It's like, that's nice that you're going to do that, but why go through the motions then? Because everybody knows that what you're doing right now isn't going to count. It's just playing, you know, playing out the last few, I don't know, just skip to it then. Why not? I mean, what's the harm? But anyway.
So let's see that. A little series that isn't getting much talked about, but I find myself rather enjoying it, and I guess maybe it's because of the Fantastic Four junkie in me that is still there, even though Marvel has tried to slaughter it for the last 4 to 5 years. It's the infamous Iron Man.
Okay.
Dr. Doom is not exactly taken over his armor, but definitely tried to assume the identity of Iron Man. And it's this interesting sort of play on how Doom is trying to do good, regardless of some of his inclinations to just take over and fix everything.
Right.
And it's quite interesting. Right now, he's currently meeting his mother in hell or limbo or wherever the heck they're saying she's in this decade. And but it's quite interesting. As a side character is Ben Grimm, who is on the hunt for sans the rest of the Fantastic Four, which is making for an interesting sort of a storyline as Ben is by himself, which I guess really isn't that typical for him as an individual character. We never got too much breakout of him. So that's kind of interesting. And it's not that Doom's a villain per se, but he just like feels like, I could really fix this all if I really wanted to. But he is holding back because he realizes he shouldn't. But it's quite an interesting story. It's almost as if I almost think of it like Tony Stark, like without the alcohol problem, but at the same time with all the narcissism attached to himself. And so being a big Iron Man fan as well, I'm enjoying it from that aspect, and the Fantastic Four aspect definitely is helping out as well. So it's been a quite a strong series. I know it's not selling incredibly well, and it really doesn't get any house ads or anything like that, but it's been quite an enjoyable storyline for me. So I've been liking that a lot.
I think that I've read the first one or two of that.
You should have, yeah. There are several issues.
Yeah, so it was an intriguing premise, if nothing else. They did a lot of setup on that, actually, in one of the other Iron Man books, if I recall. So it's a nice kind of takeoff from that, which is, it's good to know that it continues to be interesting.
And then over in, over in the DC sort of side of the world, there, I was a little surprised. Maybe they didn't react quick enough or didn't expect the groundswell that it is. But there really hasn't been that much Wonder Woman output as far as comic books go. You have the regular series, and I believe there's only been one other special directly related to the movie. But other than that, there hasn't been that much. And when I compare that to some other Avengers movies or Captain America or Iron Man, when they literally plastered the comic book racks with, special editions, this, that, the other thing. DC really has not done that with Wonder Woman's response. So, like I said, I'm not sure if they, sort of came up, didn't realize it or didn't feel they needed to or wanted to. But it's just the dearth of extra material surprised me. So has been surprising me. I would have thought they would have kicked something out.
Yeah, because, I have everything kind of just waiting to read. And I was kind of surprised by that myself. I think they made one small token effort to put something extra out. And that's about it. And you do wonder if they, no pun intended, if they thought that, hey, let's hedge our bets and not put a bunch of material out there if there's the potential that this is going to flop. And, really underestimated, as you said, the popularity. I think that's exactly true because, like you said, with Marvel, Guardians 2 came out, and there were a whole bunch of things that they did with Guardians. There are books for literally practically every character that's out there in that movie. And Doctor Strange, they did the same thing. They capitalized big time on these characters becoming more prominent. Certainly, Spider-Man is always given a lot of material. And practically his own universe of titles always. But I think that it's easy to say that you're going to get more for Thor Ragnarok than you did for Wonder Woman, and Thor is a pretty big mainstay at this point. So it is surprising to me that I didn't see anything really big happen. There was that I think there's a miniseries about the Amazons that was out for a little while that I recall seeing, but that's about it. And that wasn't even in response to the movie. That was just something that they were doing for a little while. So, at any rate, going to keep trying to catch up. But, having the opportunity to read other novels right now or read some novels right now is actually taking up a little bit more of my time, which is not necessarily bad. I have a nice little stack over there, and including the second Expanse novel, so...
Oh.
Want to get to that eventually. So that's about it as far as the other things that we've been doing that are not TV related that we were going to talk about. So I guess we can get into. I'm guessing this is probably going to be a 2-episode week.
I did have one last thing. It's kind of TV related, but it's been all of a sudden getting a lot of press, and it's been getting a lot of positive press actually. Is the Star Trek new Star Trek show Discovery? They've been showing off costumes, some of the makeup work, the new type of phaser and communicator for those techies who like that sort of stuff, as well as a lot more promo shots, and it's actually getting a positive spin as opposed to the out and out bashing that it was getting earlier on in the year. So I've always been hopeful that that'll be good. And with all the shakeups in leadership and management, I was really concerned about that. And actually, they talked about Brian Singer's plan, what his original plan was, to make this this an anthology series, where he was going to start off well back at Enterprise and have several episodes in each time frame all the way like past Next Generation and Voyager.
Yeah, I remember reading that, and I thought to myself that would have been an amazing idea, especially since we've talked about the fact that, you know, these one season, you know, heavily serialized season, but then you kind of wrap up the story and then you move on to the next thing. That's a really good idea and kind of thing that's taken off in recent years. And I think that Star Trek is a really good platform for that, and I'm kind of sad to see that they didn't jump at his ideas as much as we would have as an audience. I guess the cost would have been pretty enormous considering, but even so, there's a lot there in terms of just the intellectual capital that could have been played with.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely a lost opportunity. But I'm hopeful that it will shake out. I still have reservations about focus on the first officer as opposed to the captain, and very atypical. So we'll have to see what happens. There's still the whole premise of, will it take off? Are Star Trek fans going to be willing to pay the money every month? We'll have to wait and see on that. But the visuals coming out sure look nice, and I could go back and forth, you know, it's not period accurate, it's not canon accurate, and there's a lot of arguments made. If they had what we had now back in the 60s, it wouldn't have looked like that. And I'm inclined to agree with them in a lot of ways. I think some of the things they did, because that's what you had to do back then in the 60s to get out a show under budget and, you know, with minimal details and things of that nature. And we have the advantage of, you know, not only green screen technology, but, you know, it's cheap to make to produce a lot of different gadgets and accessories at a higher quality than could be done back then. So I'm willing to give some of the aesthetic look a bit of a pass if they can get a good story out for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things too, is that when people go off about the fact that Enterprise doesn't look like it should for something that came before TOS, it's like, well, you know, it's, unless you are going to subscribe to the theory or the philosophy that all the shows should be further down the timeline. Which, you know, not necessarily an invalid opinion, but if that doesn't happen, you still have to account, as you said, for the fact that it's 50 years later. And you're not going to be able to replicate that aesthetic every single week without it becoming a little bit ridiculous. And it just, it's nice to kind of see them kind of refresh it, even if they're saying, okay, it is between these two points in the timeline. It's not going to look, quote unquote, the same, but if they can get the feel of the universe down, then it doesn't need to look the same. We're pretty smart Trek fans. I think we can figure it out. And if it's that big of a problem, then wow, that's the thing you're going to get hung up on. Okay. I mean, I know there are some people that like to see the technological kind of and kind of muse over the technological advancements or progress or what have you. But, you know, that there are some pretty inventive Star Trek authors that can figure out how all these things are supposed to work out.
Even William Shatner had a quote. He says, you know, don't worry about the canon or anything like that. The purpose of Star Trek was always to tell good stories.
Yeah.
If they screw that up, then roast them, he said. Yeah. And if they do well, then just sit back and enjoy it. So it's a
well, part of it too is that I always kind of, maybe because I've read enough of the novels that I kind of that it's kind of ingrained in my head that there's this, you know, I always held this philosophy, whether it was my own headcanon or anything else, that literally all of the stories are just Kind of think of it like the Babylon 5 thing, where it's supposed to be a dramatization of real events from a particular point of view. So just because things don't quite line up visually doesn't mean that there isn't a consistent quote-unquote canon underneath of it all. It's just that this particular production telling the story is showing it this way. And the events may all line up, but the way that it's depicted is going to be based on the, you know, the style or the intent of the people who are making it. So it's a kind of like a little bit of a meta headcanon, perhaps, but it does just kind of help alleviate that whole, well, why is Kirk like this in this production, but he's kind of like this in another? And it's like, well, because the person telling the story was focusing on that part of his personality. But he's a legend. He's not, you know, and legends tend to be, you know, defined differently by who's viewing the legend at any given time. You know, some people would hero worship Kirk, where there are other people who would think that he's just an arrogant jerk. Well, there's truth in all of it, right? So it just kind of like, I can definitely understand the people who are, you know, kind of continuity wanking and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, like you said, if the story's really good, it has a place in the Star Trek universe. Let it happen. I mean, Doctor Who fans are way past this point.
Oh, geez. How could you not be?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so, yeah. I think that it's going to be a lot of fun by what I've read. I'm kind of surprised by some of the ideas that they are hoping to incorporate. And some of the visuals are really interesting. One of the things that I liked that they pointed out is that the uniforms in Discovery are very reminiscent of some of the uniform choices that were in Beyond. And whether or not that's intentional or not, that's actually a pretty cool little visual nod, if nothing else, to things that have been happening recently in the franchise. So, just to kind of like point in something that...
Yeah. My mileage varies, but okay.
Yeah. Everybody, see the infinite diversity.
Yes, absolutely. I can't figure out how to replicate that pattern, though, on the side by the... yeah, anyway, sorry.
All right, so yeah, we're getting a little bit late in this particular episode, so what we might as well do is actually start our discussion. We'll probably continue it next time, as far as some of the things that we've been watching. And why don't we go ahead and start with the shows that we've been binge-watching, and I'll just mention that, yes, once again, I finished watching Iron Fist finally.
Okay, now I've been saying for months now that that it did pick up and get significantly better once he got off his meds from the from the asylum he was in early on. Now, what do you think, John? I really did feel it improved.
I think it did improve. I don't know that the character improved significantly, but I do feel like they got their feet under them mm-hmm. by the time that they got to the second half. And I'm not going to say that it redeemed the entire season. I think that it still feels like it was a first or second draft that they just kind of rushed into production. And I think that they really needed to work on the first and second act a lot more. But I think that things came together okay. And I think that, and again, spoilers, everyone. Spoiler warning, we remember we gave one of those. Okay. I think when they revealed that Colleen and her friends were part of an offshoot of The Hand...
Yes.
That's when the story picked up for me. From that point forward, it got a lot more interesting.
Now, was that because Danny's torn, or was there some other aspect that made you sort of say...
Well, for one thing, it explained a lot about her character that didn't really make sense early on. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting there is that with Colleen, they, you know, okay, obviously they planned that they were going to make her identity a lot more complicated than we thought. But I guess the thing is that they never presented her identity or anything about her as being overly mysterious or even slightly mysterious. And as a result, you were never really waiting to find out what the truth was about her. You just kind of took it at face value. So it did feel like, oh, wow, that's not what I expected to have happen. And maybe it made it that much more surprising, but I really felt like she was a very stock character to begin with. And this added something to it for me. And then take into account that, you know, Claire from some of the other shows got involved a lot more in the second half. And Danny kind of started to get moving down his journey of discovering a little bit better part of his personality and a little bit more responsibility. But from what I understand, a little bit of spoilers for the Defenders coming soon, just a couple weeks, is that his personality and his growth is actually a big part of that story. And that explains a lot about why he is still so kind of obnoxious and not nearly as self-aware as he probably should be, even at the end of this first season. But if, in fact, it is as good a follow-up in Defenders as what some of the advance talk is, I think that some people who thought that he was woefully miscast might change their mind. And I feel like there was enough promise in what we saw to allow for that. I'm not really sure about that ending. It kind of felt a little bit off to me, but I'm sure that there's going to be some more about that in the second season of Iron Fist.
Although it does make me wonder where Defenders is going to fall in that.
Yeah, well, we'll find out soon.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, there are some questions about how everything fits together, but it is pretty... it did pick up, like you said, in the second half. And I think part of it, too, is that they found their tone better. I mentioned it a few times that it seemed like their idea was that, you know, every show in the, you know, lead up to the Defenders was going to have its own sense of style and aesthetic to it. And, you know, Daredevil is a pretty straight up, darker tinged superhero story, kind of like not unlike Arrow in its first season, you know, the better parts of its first season. And then Jessica Jones is very, you know, noir and almost feels like, you know, Veronica Mars grew up and had some really bad experiences. And then you have Luke Cage, which is, you know, definitely has its own style and, you know, just brings a completely different aesthetic to things. And I feel like what they wanted to do with Iron Fist was to kind of play with that whole idea of those, you know, mid-80s ninja movies where, you know, the lead character was kind of almost offensively white bread American type of thing. You know, the whole idea of the millionaire that has this special destiny that kind of, you know, is a little bit cloying at this point in terms of the familiarity of that type of origin story. And you could definitely get the sense in some episodes that they were well aware of how cheesy a story like this could be, and they wanted to play with that. But then they just go from that to this deadly serious tone, and it just didn't work. They really needed to keep that tongue-in-cheek side to it, and I think that, like, the villain, right, who, I forget the name of the dad, but, I forget his first name, but it was basically played by the guy who played Faramir in Lord of the Rings. I can't remember the name of Harold Meacham, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was so over the top sometimes that you could feel like they were doing that intentionally. And when they did that, it really seemed to, it's like they embraced that storytelling aesthetic, and it worked a lot better for me. When they tried to go too super serious, it didn't quite work as well. At the same time, that whole reveal about the hand that I mentioned fits in really well with that whole idea that this is just a big twist in this kind of crazy, you know, American ninja movie. And it worked a lot better for me when I looked at it that way, let's put it that way. And I think that it kind of played into what some people were complaining about the show, this whole idea of, you know, Danny is just a spoiled brat with a lot of privilege that he doesn't, you know, acknowledge. And it's like, yeah, I think that that's actually intentional. And they just did a bad job portraying that. So I think that once they got their style down a little bit better and they got the story down more, and then they did that nice twist in the middle with Colleen, I think the story finally, the show finally kind of found itself. Not perfect still, but it did much better than at the beginning. At the beginning, it was just really rough.
Do you think that's because they stopped the show clicked over, as you said, when we found out about Colleen and the hand? It switched out from, in my sense, from being a Danny story now to being a versus them story. And so we stopped getting all this sort of introspection about Danny's life and, oh, what he should have done or what he could have been or what he should do now with the company. And it actually became sort of a, you know, him versus them kind of story. So it took on a whole, as you said, it took on a different flavor about it, which I found that I like more in the superhero genre as opposed to as much of his introspection.
Yeah. And it became a much more blatant lead in to Defenders. And yes. I think that might actually have been part of the problem, too. Now, in retrospect, knowing that what the Defenders is going to be focusing on, I think that the show also had an identity problem. It had to introduce Danny, and it had to do it in a way that gave him an arc that he could grow with. And at the same time, it had to be a direct lead-in to Defenders. And I think that tension did not help them in any way. But definitely improved. And if they, in fact, do a lot to redeem Danny, or at least give him an even more substantial arc and kind of give his character a better place to land in terms of personality and perspective, then I think that in retrospect, people are going to be a little more favorable with this, but I can definitely understand why they felt he was insufferable, especially in the beginning. Also, real quick, I did mention that, yes, I did finish watching the first season of Handmaid's Tale. Really excellent production. A very good representation and adaptation of the novel. Very difficult material to watch because of the allegory and metaphor that's involved and some of the kind of... there's a reason that the novel is banned in many places. It brings up some very uncomfortable thoughts about religion and about society. But I think that it's one of those shows that you gain a lot from watching. And I'm glad that they have a second season coming, because that would have been a cruel place to end the story. Because things definitely kick into a different gear at the very end of the first season. So it all leads very nicely from beginning to end in terms of the season arc and where things end up. And it gives you a lot of places for them to go in the second season. But definitely an excellent production. Kind of sorry that I didn't get a chance to finish it up earlier, but it is a show where you can maybe watch a couple episodes at a time, but then you really need a little bit of time to breathe and think. So definitely a thought-provoking show. All right, well, as I said, we're probably going to do two episodes this week. So when we come back next time, we're going to get really deep into at least one show, and then kind of touch base on a couple others that are running right now. But yeah, we're going to get into some episodic discussion. So until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the Critical Myth.